Good morning. Thank you for coming and encouraging me and encouraging those that are standing or sitting beside you. How great is our God that He will never forget us. To our God be all praise and all the glory that we can humbly give. This morning, as we're going to look into God's Word, we're going to focus on a character in the Bible. And if you would, turn to Numbers chapter 13. We'll spend a little bit of our time looking at Joshua. By Numbers chapter 13, the children of Israel have exited Egypt. They have traveled through the wilderness, and they are coming up Kadesh Barnea. Now, as you might remember, the children of Israel are being led by God. During the day, there's a big pillar of cloud, and a big fire by night. When the cloud would stop, or the pillar of fire would stop, the Israelites would stop. When it would move, the Israelites would move. And as they are traveling to Kadesh Barnea, the Lord commands Moses to pick out some men to go and spy out the land of Israel, saying, "Spy out the land which I am giving to the children of Israel." In chapter 13, verse 2. Moses then goes to each tribe and picks out a leader from that tribe to go and spy out the land. And in verse 8, of chapter 13, Moses picks a man from the tribe of Ephraim named Hoshea, the son of Nun. And in chapter 13, verse 16, it says that Moses renamed this individual Joshua, and Moses called Hoshea the son of Joshua. That's verse 16. For a second, I would like to take a look at these two names. Hoshea actually comes from the root word Yasha, meaning to be saved, delivered, salvation. Joshua is actually a complication of two elements, the first one being the appellative Yah, Yahu, or Yu, which in turn is abbreviated in the form of the Tetragrammaton, which is a big word, say, it's a four-letter word for the name of God. Y-H-W-H. Now, this actual pronunciation is lost because the Jewish leaders of old were so fearful of saying God's name that they never spoke it. Instead, they used the word Adonai to replace it. Some vowels were added later to help with the pronunciation, which became Yahweh, and that is translated Jehovah. The second element of Joshua's name is just like the first, Yeshua, meaning to save or deliver. So the name of Joshua, turn on, the name of Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. And this morning, I want to spend a few minutes learning some lessons from Joshua's life and how Jehovah was Joshua's salvation. His new name is the key to his life and work. From bringing the people into the land of Canaan, crossing over the Jordan, taking Jericho, dividing out the land, Joshua embodied his new name, that Jehovah is salvation. So what does Joshua show us through this example? Well, Joshua shows us that Joshua was prepared to serve the Lord. Before he became a great leader that we know Joshua, Joshua was a servant. Joshua's life of service began with Jehovah, went to Moses, and ended to Jehovah. He was a man called the servant of the Lord in Joshua chapter 24, verse 29. From the time we are introduced to Joshua in Exodus chapter 17, all the way up to the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua served the Lord faithfully and upheld Jehovah's truth. In Exodus chapter 17, this is really the first time when we get to know about Joshua. the children of Israel have come out of Egypt. They have crossed the Red Sea, and they are encamped at Rephidim. And the Amalekites have come up to do battle. Moses then turns to Joshua, commands him to make ready the army to go and fight the Amalekites. And what does Joshua do? Joshua does all that Moses commanded. Exodus chapter 17, verses 9 through 10. When Moses needed somebody, Joshua was ready to serve. But that's not the only instance. In Exodus chapter 24, we see that Joshua actually kind of conformed to Moses' assistant and his servant. Exodus chapter 24, the children of Israel, after the battle of Rephidim, came out and finally reached Mount Sinai. The Lord, therefore, presented himself to the children of Israel. The children of Israel were fearful, and they asked Moses to go up to the mountain. And we read that in Exodus 24, that Moses went upon the mountain, and Joshua was with him. And he stayed there 40 nights and 40 days. Again, in Exodus chapter 33, verses 6 through 11, we see that Joshua served at the tabernacle. Not too many chapters far from our last point. Moses and Joshua come down. Joshua hears a tumult in the camp. Says the children of Israel are being attacked. Moses says, "No, they're not." We all know the story. Children of Israel play the harlot, worship the golden calf. Moses has come down. Breaks the Ten Commandments that God had given him, grinds up the golden calf, and puts it in the drinking water. In Exodus chapter 33, we learn that Moses takes the tabernacle and moves it away from the camp of Israel. Every time when Moses would go into the tabernacle to talk with God face to face, the children of Israel would stand at their tent. And we read in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, that Joshua stood at the tabernacle. Even as a leader, Joshua served God. When Moses died and God said, "Joshua, you're the leader," he didn't let that go to his head. His first service was to the Lord. We read about in Joshua chapter 5 that after they crossed the Jordan River, the first thing that Joshua did was service to God. And that was keeping the commandment of circumcision. We read again in Joshua 24:15 of his service to God. Even though the Lord magnified Joshua, even though he set him up on a pedestal, Joshua knew who his salvation was. Joshua served the Lord with a faithful heart. And actually, Peter admonishes us in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever." Joshua glorified the Lord through his actions of submission and service to God. I have a question. Are we prepared to serve? In Psalms chapter 2, verse 11, the psalmist says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing and with trembling." And someone might say, "Well, why do I need to serve the Lord with fear, with rejoicing, with trembling?" Well, I think it says something, I think Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 actually explains that a little. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 28. It says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Why should we serve the Lord? Because we have a hole. We who God is our salvation, we have a hole of a kingdom that will never be destroyed. We need to serve the Lord with gladness. In Psalms chapter 100, Psalms 100, verses 2 through 3. Joshua the psalmist says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Joshua had this mindset that the psalmist says here. Joshua knew that Jehovah, he is God. He knew that it was in him, in Jehovah, that Joshua was created. We need to serve our Lord, our salvation, gladness. We need to serve the Lord, our God, with a good and a pure conscience. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is writing his last letter to Timothy, and he says in verse 3, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day." Our part, our service, is a life dedicated to God, dedicated to prayer, esteeming others better than ourselves. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus states, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." These two words define why Jesus came. He came to serve. He came to give his life so that we might have a hope of heaven. There's an old comparison between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. See, the Sea of Galilee is full of life. You can just walk up to the sea and put your feet in, and you can see the little fishes swimming in between. The reason why it's full of life is because the Sea of Galilee takes in water, but also lets it go. Whereas the Dead Sea, you can sit in the Dead Sea all you want, but it's dead. It's stagnant. Because all it is doing is receiving water. So today, when you define your life as service, as giving, the novelist Leo Tolstoy said, "Joy can be real only if people look upon their life as service and have a definite object in life outside of themselves and their personal happiness. Let us look for the real joy and be prepared to serve God and to serve others just as Joshua did." Joshua fearlessly stood before the Lord. To stand, meaning to be firm, persistent, to refuse to back down, to remain solid against attack, to resist bravely. We see this in the life of Joshua back in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. The 12 spies have gone out into the land of Israel. They have spied out the land. They come back and they give the report. The land is just as it is promised. It is flowing with milk and honey. But there are giants there, and we are but grasshoppers. Joshua stood for the Lord. He did not waver when he stood up against his own people. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 through 9, he stood unwavering on God's side, knowing that with God's help, the people could conquer the land. The people could face the giants and overcome them. And they would be able to gain the land that was promised to them. As he transitioned into the leadership after Moses died, God commands Joshua that he would never leave him nor forsake him, but that he must be strong and very courageous. Go back to Joshua chapter 1 and read that chapter. And just take a highlighter and highlight every time where God says, "Be strong and courageous." That was Joshua's command to God. And Joshua acted upon this command. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 through 11, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people. Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go into it to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You see that Joshua stood even at the end of his life. In Joshua chapter 23, verses 6 through 11, you shall hold fast to the Lord your God. Therefore, take careful heed to yourself that you love the Lord your God. And in Joshua chapter 24, go there and turn to Joshua 24 and verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, look, you need to serve the Lord. But if you don't, you need to choose who to serve. But for me, I'm going to serve you. Joshua stood firm on his principles. No matter what happened, no matter who he was facing, he feared Jehovah, his salvation. And therefore, he served him honestly and stood firm in God's truth. The fear of the Lord is the basis of walking in his way. Serving him, loving him, and standing strong for him. So again, ask the question, are we prepared to stand for the Lord? If we stand for the Lord, Christ will present us to the Lord holy and blameless. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. We're actually going to be reading from verse 21 through verse 23. And you who were once alienated and the enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present to you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard. We see this again in 1 Peter chapter 5 and 9. Peter reminds us to resist the devil, being steadfast in faith. And again, Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, to watch, to stand fast in the faith, to be brave, to be strong. Are we standing for God? Are we holding fast our confession? Again, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the Hebrew writer encourages us, hold fast the confession of our faith, of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, Paul states, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which ye were taught, whether by word or epistle. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everything, everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your heart and establish you in every way. As we grow in faith, we are going to be challenged. The very depth of our spirit to the point of breaking. Even though we might feel like breaking, we need to stand strong. In Ephesians chapter 6, we are told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When we stand strong in the Lord and in His power, He will deliver us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. We want to get to heaven where God is. The The Lord requires us to fear Him, to stand strong in our faith, to serve the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Are we serving? Are we prepared to stand for the Lord? All these questions you have to answer. So ask them. I want you to say them in your brain. Am I prepared to stand? Joshua trusted in the God of his salvation. I don't know how many, I didn't go back and count how many battles we have recorded on Joshua, but just think of all the battles that Joshua endured. He trusted in God. Trust, a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability or strength of someone or something. We trust a lot of things, in life. In fact, if I was to step off of this podium, I trust that gravity is going to make me fall down to the earth and not make me float up to the ceiling. Are we trusting everything that we have to God? In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the writer writes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." Trust. See it every day. Have you ever gone to the grocery store and you see a family, little kids? Before they cross the street, little kids are holding on to their parents' hand. That little kid trust that his parent is going to deliver them safely to wherever, to lead them through danger. And just as that child is holding out his hand and holding his parent's hand, Joshua placed his hand in Jehovah, his salvation. And Joshua allowed him to lead the way. Joshua had seen firsthand what God could do. He had witnessed the 10 plagues on Egypt. He had walked through on dry ground, through the Red Sea. And then he had looked back to see those walls, water, destroying the Egyptian army. He had crossed Jordan. He conquered the nations of Israel, or of Palestine. Joshua knew where his salvation was. It was in the Lord God Almighty. And therefore, his trust was in God. You see this in Numbers chapter 14 again. Not only did Joshua stand firm, but Joshua trusted in God. Joshua said, "Look, there are giants out there, but the Lord is with us. Do not fear." Joshua knew. Joshua had the trust in God that we should have. That he could overcome, that anyone can overcome the giants in the Bible. Joshua trusted God to lead the way. Joshua chapter 6. God commands Joshua, go and attack Jericho. Now at this time, Joshua has been in a couple of battles, a couple of fights. Pretty sure he knows how to attack somebody. But God says, I want you to take the men and walk around once. Walk around the walls of the city of Jericho. For 6 days. Have you ever thought what that would look like if you were in Jericho? Here's this huge army coming up against you to attack you, and all they do is just walk around and then go off. Then on the seventh day, that army comes and it walks around seven times. And after the seventh time, they take the horns, they blow the horns, they yell with a great yell. And guess what? The walls that you were trusted in fall down. I would have hated being in Jericho. The walls fell down because Joshua did what God commanded. Because Joshua trusted in the Lord for his salvation. Again, are we trusting? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, Jeremiah plainly states what happens to someone who trusts in God. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear from the heat that comes, but its leaf will be green. And it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding its fruit. We want to be like that tree that Jeremiah described. Our roots need to be firmly grounded in the Lord of our salvation. Are we committing to everything? In Psalms chapter 31, verse 19, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. Are you committing everything to God? If not, you need to be just like Joshua and trust in God. Are you allowing God to lead you through the good times, through the bad times? Psalms 143, verse 8, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Psalms chapter 91, we read, and we see, trusting in God brings comfort. He who dwells in secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield. And just as a mother hen spreads out her wings to cover her chicks, to protect them from the predator, so God covers us in His love to protect us from Satan. I sing a lot of songs here, and sometimes a lot of songs just get ingrained to our head. Are we really reading the words when we sing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in you? Do we really know what that means? Are we really trusting in Jesus? Are we relying? Are we leaning? Surrendering our hearts and our lives to our God, to our Savior, daily? Or are we just trying do it all by ourselves? You trust in God. Joshua trusted in the Lord, and because he trusted in Jehovah, his help, God delivered his enemies into his hand and magnified Joshua in the sight of Israel. Joshua chapter 3, 7. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you also. That was, God told that to Joshua. God is telling that to you today. Trust in Him and He will be with you. Joshua's life, as we have seen, was focused was based around that God is his salvation. With faced in choices, with choices, thought never came into his head whether to obey God or to do what he thought. Do what he wanted. He made that commitment early in his life, and he didn't change his mind in that challenge. God wants us to be exactly like that. God wants our lives to be totally focused on him, so that when the giants come, when the trials come, when Satan knocks at the door, guess what? We won't worry, because God is our salvation. Joshua was able to obey God's command to be strong and to be courageous because God was his center. He was willing to seek him and willing for Jehovah his Savior to lead the way. Characteristics such as courage, servanthood, obedience and faith are qualities that make leaders. These are qualities that Joshua had. These are qualities that we should have. He didn't rely on his own talents. He didn't rely on the sword in his hand. No, he relied in God and trusted that God's power would bring forth the victory. Joshua was prepared to serve the Lord. Joshua stood for the Lord. Joshua trusted in the Lord, his salvation. When we surrender our lives to him, he will keep us perfect, in perfect peace, if our minds are focused on him. We trust in Jehovah because he is our everlasting strength. Isaiah chapter 26. Jude 1, 24 and 25 states, "Now in him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is our salvation. You're a Christian. Have kind of fallen away from that idea. Have tried to conquer the trials and the obstacles all by yourself. Trust in the Lord, for he shall lead you. You haven't been a Christian. You can't say God is your salvation. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be saved from the lake of fire? To stand before the God, the Creator, in heaven, where there will be no more tears, no more sorrow? Stand up. Stand for God. Come forward, confess his name. Be baptized, become his child, and let God be your salvation. If you're at either end, somewhere in between, you just need the prayers of the congregation, please come to the front and ask. We will pray for you. Come, stand.